Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 564. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I'm so excited to watch Tom Brady break every single game passing record this weekend. So excited.
It could get messy. It could be a messy game. Earl is here.
I will not be watching Tom. Well, see, I'm kind of cursed because Tom Brady is my starting quarterback on my fantasy team. So I am begrudgingly having to cheer for him.
I thought hated football.
Oh, yes. I have a fantasy football league, though, because it was... because two of my best friends are huge, you know, sports people. And like our group text would always devolve into football talk this time of the year. And it just kind of got annoying because I'm like, I'm not invested in any of this. So like 10 years ago, we started a fantasy football league. So at least I would care about something, some aspect of it. And then like 3 or 4 years ago, we changed it up. So like, it's kind of it's a fun league. So I think I've explained this before. Like it's a completely random league as far as like it's auto drafted. So we don't have a say in the draft. They're kind of able to play in field. So like one day a team is picked for you and you just make the best of it. It can do trades and pickups and stuff like that, but you start off with just kind of like, so, you know, it's not partially because I got one of my friends, I love him to death, but he's like one of those people who would like have like a spreadsheet, an Excel sheet throughout the summer, like charting all these stats and pickups and who, you know, like, and I'm like, yeah, just kind of, I need to fill these positions. That's what I'm going to do. So this kind of even the playing field for everybody with none of us really has an advantage one way or another.
All right. Jeff is here. His Bears are terrible.
Yeah, it's over.
I saw that fantastic about the Bears last weekend where that, I forget which kicker it was, had more yards on his kick than the entire Bears offense.
You could have thrown a rock and
there was no Bears offense.
Wait, 68 yards was too much? Too much?
They had like, actually, I don't know how many yards they had total, but they had one 47,
passing, I think.
One passing yard for the whole game.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, it's impressive. It's
just the lowest since 1981.
So.
Wow.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, on this side of the, I'm not gonna say problem, we're in the same country. I just learned that the Mets are going to set a record for the team that had the longest streak in first place, who's going to end up with a losing record. So I think they had 103 games. yes, and they are going to end up. I don't know what their record is actually going to end up being, but they're going to end up under 500. So, yay Mets! I mean, I'm not a Mets fan, but.
Anyone who is, I feel really bad for.
Half my friends are. Granted, it's not like the Yankees are doing a ton better.
I mean, they're in the conversation to make the playoffs.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
There's at least that, I guess.
They got that going for them. But, yeah. Okay. Well, before we start talking video games, which we never actually do. Technically speaking, this is September 30th, but this comes out October 2nd, so I am cheating. And I think, you know, Chris and I have spoken recently on the show about that beer service he uses. And I tried it out, Tavar. And I tried it out, and one of the things I talked about last week, I got that really weird, funky beer. But the other thing I got was an Oktoberfest pack. And I figured it'd be really nice to just try each of the Oktoberfest beers. One a week on the show. So we're starting with a six pack. We're starting with a Main and Mill Brewing Company. I should really pay attention to where these things are made ahead of time, because that's always the hardest thing to find. They're in Missouri. This is the October Festus. It is a 5.5 Marzen style beer. I don't know what that means.
It's a German style of lager. It's like a darker lager.
Yeah, okay. That's what I was gonna say. It is. It's not like a thick stout, but it does have like a rich kind of caramel color to it. It's really nice. as always, well, not as always, this is like something we've done, but I snapped a picture of it. I'll put it up on my Twitter and stuff like that. And then we get to try the first sample of it because you folks are taking forever. Oh, that is really good.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. I like Marzen's. It's a really nice style of beer. It's like super drinkable. You kind of, it's like stout-esque without being a stout. So like you feel like you're not like chugging something thick.
Yeah, it has like that. I mean, I'm not even kind of stout. Stout's where you get going for it. It's like it has that great aftertaste.
Yeah.
Which I think sometimes that is, you know, like IPAs, I feel like kind of go down. They start well, and then they go down, and they don't really taste like much. But this, you go down smooth, and then you get like this really strong aftertaste. I wonder what's in this. It's with notes of caramel. I think that's what I'm tasting. It's really good. Oh yeah, that is really delicious.
I did not get the Oktoberfest pack that Earl did, but since Earl's decided that we're going to taste test beers on the show now, I decided I will join along and take one of, you know, the random ones that I bought the month. And so I did not realize that this was a hard seltzer that I had bought. It's Apple Cranberry Crumble. It's by Energy City Brewing, which is in Illinois.
Never heard of it.
Well, now you have.
Itasca, Illinois, Jeff. That makes Itasca? Itasca, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
That's where it's at. It is a apple cranberry hard seltzer.
Hard My girlfriend seltzer would like smoothie. That.
Let's see.
She loves, what's her drink? Crown apple and cranberry. That's her go-to.
Oh, I like crown apple. That crown apple's good.
Yeah.
This is weird. it kind of tastes like an apple pie, which isn't bad, but in like liquid form.
Dang. You guys ever have apple pie shots?
That's what it tastes like, Jeff.
Yeah. Those are popular this time of year.
I don't know if I like this. Glad I started just getting like whatever the minimum I can buy of it is instead of buying multiple. So that I only have like one or two at most. All right. What, Jeff, you drinking vodka?
Yep.
Shocker.
We know what that tastes like.
It's basically water over here. Very strong water.
I mean, it's better than your beer taste, so.
Well, I do sometimes have good beer, but yeah, usually not.
I watch my anything? Figure.
I mean, I'm having a
figure.
I'm having an IPA, but shocker. It's a hazy. It's nice. Delightful. All right.
Yeah, that's the best. That's where it's at.
We do actually have a lot of games to discuss this week. Jeff has a bunch of new games, actually.
Yeah.
And I have a couple things. Earl said he has nothing. He did bring all the news, so. But Tony, you been playing anything this week?
I have. I've been playing what should be everybody's game of the year. It's The Grand Tactician, The American Civil War. This is a Civil War RTS game, kind of in the style of Total War. Basically, you have a strategic overmap where you're basically fighting the entire war. And you have like armies on the screen. And when your army meets an enemy army, you switch into a tactical battle where you get to command your troops in combat. The game actually came out like a year ago on Early Access, and I bought it at launch at that point, but the actual full release of the game was last Friday. So like they're finished, this game is out, now they're done with the Early Access stuff. So this is 1.0. Mm-hmm. It was made by a small team. You can tell. If you're comparing it to a Total War game, like, this does not look like a Total War game. The guys are all pixelated. They don't look awesome.
If you zoom in, it's not as detailed.
But if you zoom out, I'm kind of into like the period Civil War maps that they drew like after the battles would be fought, and it looks exactly like those maps. So like you can see like it'll like the brigade will be a line, and it'll say the commander's line over the, like, and you can see like the battle lines in like period map form, which looks super cool. Unlike the Total War games, which are RTSs, they're like, you click on your troop, you right-click the enemy over there, and they go attack them. Like, in this game, it follows more of a historical type command. So you are the commanding general. So if you see some enemy troops over there, and you want this brigade to go attack them, you know, same thing, you click the brigade, you go right-click the enemies. Well, a courier rides out from your commanding general to the brigade. And as soon as that courier makes it to the brigade, then it will start following the order that you just sent.
Yeah, this might sound like a weird question. Can the enemy kill the courier?
The enemy can get in the courier's way. I haven't seen any couriers actually die, so I'm not sure. Most of the time, like, I haven't had a courier actually like ride through enemy lines, so I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose that would be the other thing. Like, why would you have a brigade on the other side of the enemy line that you need to send a courier to?
Well, the thing is, sometimes like your troops will be like isolated. Mm-hmm. They'll be out of the range of your commander. That like maybe the roads don't go the right way or something. So you'll have units that'll get like be out of orders, and like the AI will take over for like managing those troops, or they'll just be so far away that they just sit and wait for the courier to arrive. So you're like ordering these troops, and it's taking them like hours to move because they're just so far away. I guess one of the more interesting things about the game. So if you played a Total War game, like the first thing that happens is you deploy your army, and the enemy deploys their army, and typically that sets you up for a set piece battle. This has more of a historical bent to it. So most battles aren't fought like that. They're meeting engagements, like armies are marching towards each other. And like the troops come in line slowly, like whoever's in front fights first, and then the other troops come in as the battle moves on. So like Gettysburg, for example, you have like two divisions fight, and then the fight slowly grows bigger and bigger as more troops arrive at the battle. Well, that's how these battles are fought too. So like you'll deploy your troops, but you're basically deploying them at the edge of the battlefield. The game itself will assign objectives, which are like in the middle. So you start like marching your armies towards the middle. And then you have to march your armies in the right formations. So like your troops will start to break into columns. When that happens, they tend to take up a lot of space. So it takes them forever for your whole army to reach whatever the objective point is. So basically you'll see like your initial brigades will fight their initial brigades, and the battle will build up around that. So it kind of like has this really like cool historical feel to it. It also means that the battles take forever. So like if you're fighting like a Total War battle, most of them are over in like 10 minutes at most. These battles, number one, they can last for multiple days, so you can fight like through the whole day until it gets dark, and then renew the battle the next day. I've actually had battles go for 5 days like that.
And how long does this take?
Could take a couple hours.
Real time, okay.
Much like Total War, it does have the clock. Like you can speed up time if nothing interesting is happening.
Mm-hmm.
But once interesting things start happening, then you slow it down, and it could take a while. The AI is not awesome. I've seen it do some weird stuff. For instance, I've had it it was the Battle of First Manassas, and I was marching my troops in towards the objective. the enemy had deployed their entire army on this awesome ground, but it wasn't the objective. So they kind of just watched my entire army just walk right past, then set up in the objective. And so I set up a defensive perimeter. They started attacking me because I took the objective because they were set up in the wrong place. The AI should probably be defending the objective.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on there. But it's super cool. Like, it's got like the whole like Civil War sound. So it's playing like period music and you're fighting the battle, and it just the sound is really, really, really good and well designed. When you hear like the musket fire, like the cannon fire, and it kind of rings in the battlefield, so the sounds are like localized. Like you hear musket fire, like, where was that? And you're trying to find it because the sound is literally like really loud when it's close, but if you're far away, it's not that loud. So you kind of need to find it.
And like, is there like indicators that would, like, is there like smoke trails or?
So, interestingly, so you're the commanding general, right? One of your brigades gets into battle. They send a courier to you. So you will literally get a message that will arrive. Like, Shank's brigade is engaged in combat. You'll get a message from General Shank, which will tell you this. You're like, oh, I better go over there and look at, see what's happening. Does he need help? That kind of thing.
Got it.
Yeah, and this whole game is like you're getting like these little messages. Like, at the end of the day, you'll get a message from your quartermaster. Oh, we're in good supply, or oh, we should retreat, or whatever it happens to be in this situation. When you're outside of the battle and you're on the strategic map, your general, if he's won the battle, will like send a message to the president. We know we're victorious. We did this. We killed this many guys. We lost this. You'll get this like period type message. And then you'll get like the newspaper coverage of what happened. It'll give you like this little like newspaper with all these articles about the battle and what happened. And it's like meaning to both sides. It's really interesting. So I'm having a lot of fun with this game. It's pretty cool.
Is it all just land battles, or is there also
there is a significant naval portion. However, the naval battles are not like they're AI rolled.
Okay.
You don't actually fight them.
You don't handle them.
Yeah.
And is there any, like, it, you know, Gettysburg is a giant empty field. Like, are there any, not that there were urban battles, but anything like near cities, or are you taking over cities as you win battles and
have to... there are sieges. There are things to go out and capture. There are like strategic points of interest, depots, forts. You can actually build forts on the map too, so you can increase the number of stuff that's out there. Like railroads, ports, like the stuff that they fought over.
Right. Supply lines.
Right.
Neat.
That's pretty cool. I've been waiting a long time for this game to actually be finished. I didn't want to get into it before it was... because I knew it was being made by a small team. I knew like things would be missing. So it seems to be pretty complete at this point. The AI definitely needs some tweaking, but other than that, it's super cool.
Cool. I do wish that it had a Total War, when you zoom in, like you could get like right up on the individual combatants. That would be cool, but
yeah, most of the units are like right, they're like scaled. So like you'll have 20 guys out there representing a brigade of 3,000 people.
Right.
So it looks kind of like you ever play like Sid Meier's Antietam, one of those games, Sid Meier's Gettysburg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Similar, those are games.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'll take your word for it.
All right. Well, Tony's been enjoying reenacting the Civil War.
Yeah.
Jeff's been playing with little cars.
Yeah. Well, a very little bit. Stayed up late last night, and that's when I make my best purchasing decisions.
Of course.
And got Hot Wheels. I don't even know what the name of it is. The new Hot Wheels game.
Sure.
It is Unleashed. Hot Wheels Unleashed. Yeah.
You don't know the name of the game. Good stuff.
Yeah. It's a Hot Wheels game. Who cares? So, yeah, this is like, I think it's on like everything, but yep. I got it on the Series X. Be careful if anyone's thinking about buying it. Like, it's like in the store right next to it. It's just the regular Xbox One version. And like, I literally almost clicked on that and bought that.
Oh, does it not? It does not have like smart.
I don't know. Yeah. It's listed in two separate things. So, anyways, you know, just look for the Series X symbol or whatever. Very basic, like arcade racer, you know, fucking drift, you know, tap the brakes to drift and that will build up your boost. That's kind of it to it.
Ooh, complexity.
But you know, the track design is neat. You get like some crazy air and find shortcuts by doing so. You know, like when you're in the air too, like you could like kind of move your car around a little bit. Like, you know, it's kind of nutty. And it looks really good. Like it's a pretty great looking game. And as you play along, you get like loot boxes where you get, you know, unlock new cars.
They have some licensed cars too, right? Like,
I think so. Yeah.
I'm looking at a picture here. I see the DeLorean from Back to the Future, Snoopy, like Snoopy's, like his on top of a hot rod. So that's pretty cool.
I wonder if some of those are like DLC. Like this seems like a game that has a lot of that. Like, there's like a $90 version of the game, which seems kind of insane. Like
the yellow the van from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles looks like it might be in it.
Oh, that's awesome.
I hope like I'll get some of that stuff playing through the you know, the story mode and, you know, from the loot boxes and shit, or who knows. But right. I've only played like, I think, you know, again, this is pretty late last night. I played like the tutorial race and then maybe two after that. I did think that on normal difficulty it was a little hard. Like, really? I would be running a good race and still struggling to get into like the top three. So I switched it to easy, and then it's like way too easy. Like then it was just like no one, you know, they're not even in my rear view. So bad
balancing.
I just think that, I don't know, maybe I just gotta play a little bit more, and I kind of want to switch it back to normal difficulty because I don't want to just play it where
they're smoking everybody.
Yeah, right? Yeah,
that's not fun.
But
I mean, seems it is, like
It seems neat. I don't know about the price tag on it. Like, the regular version is $50, and from what I've heard, like the game is not super heavy on. I think that the story mode, from what I heard, is pretty short, and not a ton of tracks there.
Yeah, it was something I heard was that like there's not a ton of content in it, but it's like there's a lot that can be done if you're like one of those people that likes to create shit.
Which generally you can, like, not, but
create like all sorts of levels and tracks with, because it has all that stuff's like unlockable. Somebody described it as Mario Maker for racing.
I saw that tweet. Yeah. I don't know if it's that empty. Like, again, I'm so not far into it yet, so I can't say. The thing about that is, one, I hope I could like play user created tracks because I'm not going to be making my own. And two, I do hope that maybe they release a little bit more developer made tracks, because developer, again, I've only played like three different tracks. They're awesome. They're like really visually cool, creative. Like the one, like even in the tutorial, like there's a part of the track where there's like a spider hanging above the track and he's like shooting spider webs at you, so you had to like try to avoid that. I love that shit. So what is there seems pretty cool from what I've played so far, but again, you're talking about a half hour of play before I finally went to bed, so maybe I'll probably have more to say about it next week.
I think I think it'll be like, it sounds really cool and something my kids would probably actually play like with me. Like, is there local multiplayer?
Yeah. There's local multiplayer, but only two player split screen. That
kind of sucks.
Yeah. If I recall correctly, like, I did watch a review or two of it. I think you'll dig the game. You know, I know you like racers and
yeah.
You know what it kind of reminds me of? So weird to say, and I don't know if any of you have played it, but like a very early Xbox Live arcade game called Mad Tracks, which was basically just Hot Wheels without the license, but more expensive. I think that game was like $10. This was 50. but this obviously looks better, and it has the Hot Wheels license and
yeah.
And some licensed, you know, cars on top of that. So I don't know.
I'm into it. I think I might wait for like a sale.
Yeah.
I think I'll win at some point.
Or I mean, it's probably the best.
Yeah. Hits Game Pass.
Yeah. Who knows if, you know, but I think on a sale, probably it'd be worth it. Yeah. I don't know. I really dig these types of games and just randomly pulled the trigger last night. I almost did the same for that cruising game like a week or so before. So that one I'm going to try to hold off for sale. But I love that type of racer, like totally crazy bonkers shit.
Yep. What's the other one's? What, Cruisin' Blast? That's the one on Switch. Yeah. Yep. All right. I guess let's talk some Halo.
Halo.
Did any of you able to get into the tech test this weekend? This past weekend? What was a little bit difficult, so
I gave up because it sounded too complicated to understand.
yeah, you have to join Halo Insider. You had to download the app through the Xbox Insider app. Like, you had to jump through some hoops to get into it. But I did that and I played, and it's really good. And also, they need to fix some stuff before the game comes out.
Oh God! Oh no!
Oh, I saw you saying this. Trouble in Paradise.
The aiming is, well, I mean, there's a couple things. So, one, it's a tech test, so you don't really know if you can, you know, what you can tie here. It definitely seemed like skill-based matchmaking was not a thing during the tech test, but you don't know if somebody's just going to try and play one game during the test or if they're going to play enough for you to be able to, you know, match them up fairly with other people. So that could have just been completely off. But there were matches where we stomped the other team like 50 to 15. And then I took part in multiple matches where we got stomped. So like one of the matches was 50 to 6.
Whoa.
Like that's in a team deathmatch. That is terrible. Like, and it's not fun. Like people start quitting at that point and they do fill them in now. It's not like old Halo where if somebody quit.
Oh like, yeah, you'd be fucked.
Yeah. It's like you against four other people. Like they will fill people in, but if you're playing against a team of pros, like that's not fun. And people are gonna drop out real quick. Also the aiming with the controller, something seems off about it. And you're being matched up with keyboard and mouse players.
Oh no. That's always bad.
Yeah. And the pistol is back to being as deadly as it was in the original Halo. So basically anybody playing with a keyboard and mouse has a sniper rifle that they can fire in rapid succession, where people playing with default controls on a controller on the Series X or Xbox One, it's sluggish and you're dead. Like they basically instantly kill you. That's not fun either. They need to fix the controller aiming. Maybe, you know, give some help there, give some auto aim. I know that they had mentioned they had turned that down a bit, going into this tech test. There is still auto aim, like, you know, aim assist or whatever, put into it, but it's not super strong. And if you're playing against keyboard and mouse players, you're just going to get destroyed. But yeah, the game looks great. The maps are fun. It plays like Halo. They put this new map in, so I finally got to try out some vehicles, and they're fun. The one thing I did find weird, though, like I hopped into a ghost, and it seemed like it was firing bullets, not plasma.
Oh, that's odd.
Yeah, and it could have just been a bug.
Isn't that the gun goose, or is that...
So the ghost is the one-seater...
Okay.
And it should shoot the plasma like just like the all their weapons are plasma based, so it should shoot lasers and shit like that. And instead, it was like firing like machine gun out the front. This is weird, but it could have just maybe that was a bug, maybe something was off about it. Because there were some other things where if you charge up a. One of the plasma pistols, you could disable a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
That was broken in this tech test, like that you couldn't do that. It wasn't knocking people's shields down. So there were some bugs, but that's kind of to be expected. That's what it's there for. It's there to fix bugs, make sure that the servers are working, and pushing forward through there. Another tech test this weekend. I don't know if it's any easier to get into. They said it's open to everyone this weekend, but I also don't know what it doesn't seem like they're promoting it there. It still seems like you need to be part of Waypoint or whatever to get into it.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Cause I got the notification yesterday for Xbox to download it. But like the ink wasn't working, and I'm like, you know what? I'm not around much this week, and I'm just not gonna deal with fighting about it.
It's another one where it's gonna be tied. Like, I mean, the thing will be open all weekend, but to play against other people, it's only during like certain times that they're opening that up. Evidently, there's got to be more. This time, it was just like you can hit multiplayer, or you can play against bots, and that was all there was. From what I read today, this will have like the full suite of different modes and difficulties and everything added in. So there might be a little bit more to do this weekend. So I have it downloaded. I'll give it another try. I think that game's going to be really good. They just need to maybe correct some of those issues. Earl, I know you said you didn't play anything, but did you actually not play anything?
We played Halo Reach.
Yeah.
We did that. I played more of The Ascent, which I don't know if you folks remember me talking about Outriders. It reminds me very much of that. Like, it's a fun game, but it's also pretty broken at times. I got stuck in the environment yesterday twice, and basically to fix that, it was either even the game. Or we would just be like, we need to like find a place where it pulls you forward. It's either a cutscene or like taking the train or the bus. I got some new weapons that were pretty nifty, and we got some new enemy types, which is cool as well. So that's nice. And hopefully, like right now, it's basically us just going time until I'm trying to not do it, but my friends are really, really big on Diablo 2. And I'm still super iffy on supporting Activision. But we'll see. And then what else have I played? Oh, yes. I'm playing right now, actually, a Bug Fable. Which is on Game Pass. And I'm mostly trying it because a lot of people have compared it to Paper Mario in terms of like the combat and the humor. And so far, I totally see where they're coming from. And that it's a really kind of cutesy paper-based. I don't know if it's paper-based, but like it's an art style that is they're two-dimensional. I mean, yeah, I guess they're paper or craft, and it's combat is turn-based, but it's action turn-based. So I have two characters right now. One of them, You attack, they have a charge meter, and you have to just hit A when the meter gets to a certain point. The other one, you hold down the button and you release it near the top for maximum impact. For defense, when an enemy is trying to attack, you press A at the right time, it listens to defense. So, again, very similar stuff if you've ever played an turn-based Paper Mario game. So far, I'm enjoying it. I've put maybe an hour into it. Hopefully, I will do more with this than I did with Dodgeball Academy, which I still enjoy. I just, my beef is I really just don't have time to sit in front of the TV and play. I don't get motivated to do that, I should say. Oh, yes, that does remind me of the other game I've been playing as well. I mentioned before we played, Rogue Heroes or Hero, whatever, the Legend of Tiles, which is kind of like the 4-player Zelda game. And again, that is going well. We have not been in the first dungeon in 3 weeks, but we are really bad at this game, but we're having a bad it's like a procedurally generated game, and like we do, like you have like really good runs, and then like you get screwed over by like one room being like, we're just gonna drop a bunch of random bombs on you, and here's like some snakes that do like 15 damage when they run into you. So, but I think next time we're gonna beat that first dungeon, and we're gonna be so proud of ourselves.
Or not.
Game.
I have to find the title again. It's like Rogue Hero something of Tiles, something like that. It's on the Switch.
Oh.
And I believe the next time we play Reach together, we'll probably finish it.
Yeah.
Jesus, we are blowing through that game.
We were like, oh, this is going to take forever. And it's going to be three sessions.
It's also kind of funny because we're playing Reach and I'm playing 2 with another friend. So like we played Reach on Tuesday and I played 2. And it's like so weird going back and forth between them because like I want to run, but that's introduced in Reach. And then 2 has like dual wielding, which I think 2 is the only one in the franchise that does dual wielding. And then they kind of get rid of it. And then you also switch between like the Spartans and the Arbiter, and yep. it's so weird the first time you switch between the Arbiter because like the Arbiter's allies look like your enemies, and the enemies that he fights look like the enemies in the game in general. So it's kind of confusing, like trying to parse that out. And then actually, it took me a while because there would still be people I just hover over. Is your circle green or red?
Yeah, I accidentally killed some grunts and elites playing through Halo 2.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say Walt, because you also team killed several times this week.
Walt specifically, but yeah. I did toss a grenade and stick it to Walt's feet, and then I did, while we were on the elevator, hit him with the hammer.
Multiple times.
Yes.
It's not clear whether he deserved it, but he will one day.
So then technically you're saying he didn't deserve it this time.
Just in case in the future. I'm actually surprised how fast we're moving through that. Cause...
Yeah, it's kind of funny because we were talking, like we were hitting par on like most of the episodes we were doing too.
That game is not meant to be played with 4 players. It's not.
No.
It does not scale well at all. Like, it's too easy. And then there was, like, that vehicle level where the biggest problem was there weren't enough vehicles for us to go around. We'd all get stuck on one place.
Yeah, it's really weak. It's like, we're playing on Heroic, which is what they recommend you play on. Yeah. It's not Legendary as hard, I guess. So, like, we're not playing on normal or easy. Like, but it is like we're really just blowing through it. And some of it is just like as long as one person's alive, you'll respawn, and so like it's kind of you're just looping through. Like even though there's really no penalty for death.
Okay, you just lose like whatever armor ability you picked up
and
your weapons. That's it.
I was gonna say that OE sometimes it's actually a positive because like. For instance, if like I was to die and you fought, and if we all die, though, it resets you to the nearest save point, so you get all of that stuff back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, sometimes I actually do prefer dying, which is odd because like then, because like there are times like you prefer there's certain weapons you prefer, and like the enemies drop really crap weapons at times, and like I don't want this. So like,
I don't want the Needler. Come on, why do I have the Needler again?
So yeah, let me die, refill my pistol and my assault rifle.
Yep. or like give me a DMR or something. Cause like,
yeah,
like, oh, I want their equivalent of the battle rifle, but not every enemy has it. So like you're fighting a lot of grunts, they drop a lot of pistols. And the elites drop the, like the plasma, like the blaster. It's like, no, I prefer like a precision weapon where I can fight back. So I either want the pistol or battle rifle or DMR. Yeah, it's really weird. So sometimes, yeah, dying is just like, and then, oh, it'll spawn you by somebody who's not being attacked right now, and you move on.
Yes, the only problem, the only time that was a major problem was when we were doing the vehicle section, and we're like, oh, you're kind of screwed.
Yeah, Walt jumping ahead there, like, oh, I'm gonna go scout ahead, and then like we're just getting moving in the Warthog, and all of a sudden we're in a fight.
Right.
Just warped us to him.
And then I think I blew him up. He did deserve that one.
It's been fun. That game is very well put together. So. And you guys have been racking up a ton of achievements playing it.
Yeah.
So. All right. Speaking of Diablo 2, Jeff, you're the only one here that has played it. I mean, I played it, what,
say,
20 years ago?
You guys have played it.
Yeah, I've not played, what is it, Reforged? Or
Resurrected, I think. Yeah. So it's weird, because like I have not played it. I like tried it out maybe 10 years ago, but did not like play through it. So it's like weird trying to really say much about it, because I have a completely different frame of reference than most people. Like, I'm not familiar with it. But I've played through the first act, and I've actually started, like, probably three different characters now. And I really love it. Like, I think the game is great. I see a lot of people... Well, two people I'm playing it with, at least initially, we're kind of like, this feels old. And I've seen some reviews kind of say the same thing. But while, that's true, like, I don't think it looks as good visually as, like, Diablo 3. And you can kind of tell it's, you know, even though you play with a controller now, like, you could tell it was, like, built for the PC a long time ago. But the things, some of the things that are, like, quote-unquote old about it are, like, things that I really like. Such as the way you're like, when you die, your corpse drops and you have to like get back to it to get your stuff you had equipped back and your gold back. Which is neat because it's like, that's like an idea that always gets like attributed to Dark Souls, but here Diablo is doing it well before that. It's not as intense as Dark Souls is. Like, ultimately here, like, you could get your stuff back even if you can't get to your corpse. Like, you could just quit the game and get back in and your corpse will be in the town. I think you just lose your gold, like whatever gold you had on you. Which, we were playing one night, all three of us, and then we reached the second act. Like, so you go from whatever the first town is to, like, this desert town, right? And, you know, we all quit and I walk into the bedroom, my girlfriend's playing, she's still playing. She's like going into the shop, seeing what they got, this and that. And then she steps out. I think she goes into like, I think the next mission is like go into the sewers below the town or something. She like went into that and died. And as she's doing this, I was like, you know, just so you know, when you quit, you should probably like go to save and quit and not put your Switch to sleep because it's, you know, like an online game. Maybe something will mess up. She's like, oh, okay. And, she just fucking saved and quit without going back to her corpse. And she had 15,000 in gold on her, dude. Like, she had enough to, like, buy, like, a, you know, really nice weapon or piece of armor or whatever. I was just like, no. And it was, like, too late. I was like, I probably shouldn't have said that right then. I probably should have let her go back and get her corpse.
Yeah.
You
get your stuff and then save.
Yeah. I just thought, you know, I had made that clear, and I guess she just didn't think about it. She was like, oh, yeah, she wanted to go to bed anyways at this point. But yeah, I think it's really awesome, and like I just like the RPG elements feel a little deeper to it. Like a Diablo 3, you're not really messing with your stats until I think you do get to do that after you beat the game.
I think you need to get you need to basically prestige. You need to hit level 70.
Yeah, and then you can start doing individual stats.
Yeah.
Whereas here, you're like, you're kind of like building your character from the start. It's interesting though, and I'm happy I watched a couple of video reviews to know this, because they've said in a few reviews I watched, it's like you don't want to fuck around too much. Like, make a decision about what you want your character to be and build towards that the whole way. Because you know, all of a sudden you're like, oh, I could unlock this power now, and then you want to unlock that, and it's like, I guess that's kind of wasting your level, you know, your level ups, because you just kind of have, like, I don't know, I already have like powers that I think are like really fucking awesome, and I'm just like building those up, which so I guess I'm doing it right. It's, I don't know.
Yeah, you kind of want to just specialize as opposed to make this like kind of all encompassing, because you're never going to get everything. So
yeah,
you want to make sure you're upping your power to fit your playstyle.
That's kind of like the reviews I watched were saying. It's like you're never going to get everything, so you have to prioritize. And luckily, like, I'm playing as the druid, as you know, like in the one that I'm playing with, you know, my girlfriend and my friend, where we're actually have reached Act 2 now. I'm playing as the druid, and some of the stuff you can unlock early with the druid are like really fucking awesome. Like, there's like this boulder that you can fucking throw out, and it like rolls for fucking 10 feet and just explodes with fucking like lava. That is really cool. And then that's like one of the first abilities you can unlock. And so I'm just like, you know, pouring my experience into that. But yeah, I don't know what else to say about it other than that. I really like the game a lot. It just kind of sucks that since we're trying, like, you know, I'm trying to play through it with two other people, it's like lining up the times to do that and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes you don't want to play every day. You know, like, well, we'll get back to this. You know, now my girlfriend's out of town this weekend, so we're not going to play together till next week.
It's a chunky game. Like, it's going to take you a while.
Yeah, it takes a while to get through just the first act, I thought. And there was, what, 5 acts?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be playing it a little bit, especially with, again, trying to line up. And yeah, you know, I've like dabbled on my own a bit, but I've also had other games to play. So I've just been like, well, I'll play Diablo when we're all playing. So that's why I'm not very far into it right now. But I did start like a paladin. Is that what they're called? Paladin?
Yep.
Kind of just like a warrior class, as well as a necromancer I have going on the side.
And you said your main character is a druid?
Yeah.
That's one cool. I never played as, because
I'm digging him.
That was the druid wasn't originally part of Diablo 2. He was, that character class was added in.
Oh yeah,
the expansion, which I think is in the game. I think it has everything, right?
Yes,
so it has Lord of Destruction as well. Yeah, so I only had the first, like the original 5, and then like when, you know, Lord of Destruction comes out, like you want to play it, but you don't want to. You don't want to restart at that point. So like you play through as whatever character you had.
Mm.
Expansions were weird back then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's as far as I could tell, it's basically Diablo 2. Like you know, there's the changes are mostly graphical.
And yeah, didn't you
switch between the two?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna ask. I thought you showed me that you could switch between the old graphics and the new visuals.
So. You know, much like the Halo. I love that. I love when games allow you to do that. But then you know, it kind of exposes that. Yeah, you know, there's other things you could play with a controller. You know, I don't know. I'm sure there's other things that I don't realize, having not played the PC version, but essentially it's just Diablo 2. So
yeah, I mean,
better and worse, you know.
If you're able to switch back to the original visuals, like it is literally playing the original game, but you're playing with like a graphical filter on top.
And just, you know, yeah, there's things about it that kind of feel old, but I'm really into this game so far. So,
And I guess we'll just stick with the gothic kind of theme. You also picked up a Castlevania Advance Collection.
Yeah. So very similar to the Castlevania Collection that came out, what, like a year ago?
Yeah, the Anniversary Collection, yep.
Like functionally, you know, like you could pull up a thing and save at any point, all that shit. You could rewind a little bit, I guess, I think. But, you know, big difference is, as much as I love those NES, like, action side-scrollers, like, to me, these are, like, my favorite, these Game Boy Advance games.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just think this is a fucking awesome package. So, you get the three GBA games, as well as Dracula X from Super Nintendo, which is, you know,
remix of Rondo of Blood.
Yeah, which is, you know, more of the old action, the kind of side scroller type thing. I did try that one out too a little bit. It seems okay, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it's fine.
From what I've heard, like Rondo of Blood is better, and I have that on the TurboGrafx-16. I think I played through that when I got the TurboGrafx-16 mini or whatever. So who knows if I'll actually go through Dracula X, but, you know, these other three games are just, you know, you get that like Castlevania action in them, but also they're just really great Metroid style games. And I actually played through the third one, like the last one that came out of the three, Aria of Sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, again, like awesome. Awesome, awesome Metroid style game. And I thought really good looking for a GBA game. It almost looks like a game that belongs on the DS or something. Like it looks damn good still. And it looks good on a TV. Like,
I was going to say, that's what I was more worried about, because I imagine like that would be stretched out and stuff. A good thing to hear it holds up.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's in its regular, you know, original aspect ratio, I think. And yeah, blown up on my 60-inch TV or whatever, it looked fucking awesome. Like, I had a great time playing through that game. And it is, you know, it's nice that with the quick saves, because, like, there are, I'd say, at least two bosses in that game that are just, like, fucking ridiculous, like, how long they go on and how hard they are. So having that quick save where you could, like, only save when you get a few hits in and then, you know, kind of scrub your way through it helped. Like, the final boss is fucking, just goes on forever, dude. And, like, you know, I'm sure you could get good enough to beat him, but who has the fucking time? But I loved Aria of Sorrow, and I'm, like, going backwards, because I tried out the first one, Circle of the Moon, and I wasn't digging that as much. So I just jumped to the third one in the series, and I was like, yeah, this will probably be the best playing one and all that. So I'm working backwards now. So now I think it's Harmony of Dissonance. Mm-hmm.
Aria of Sorrows takes place in, like, well, I mean, I guess not the far future, but it's like in the future, right? It's not.
I don't know. There's no Dracula, spoilers. You just fight some dude named Graham at the end.
Sure.
I just think this is an insanely good package, you know, for $20, like, get three awesome Metroid style games and, you know, another, you know, older Castlevania game for $20, dude. Like, I'm surprised, like, more people weren't, like, all over this. Like, I was, like, immediately, like, I was on the eShop trying to download it before they even had posted it, I think. So, I don't know. It's a great deal, in my opinion, at $20. I'm sure it'll be on sale for 10 at some point, like the other one.
Yeah, and the other one's always, like, you know, down to $10.
I've even seen them go as low as five, I think. Yeah, I think
it was five last week.
Yeah, and you know, I think even those, like, I think the Castlevania collection from last year and the Contra one were also great deals at $20. But to me, like, this is just, you can't beat this deal. Like, and that's, and so while, you know, I'm not playing Diablo with my friends, instead of playing like a offline character or just one of my other characters, I've mostly just been playing this because these games are still that good and that compelling. And yeah, I'm loving them.
You just wish that, you know, it had included Symphony of the Night and Rondo of Blood, but it seems Sony has some sort of distribution deal with those, because they just did a remake of both of them. So
it's like, I can always play Symphony of the Night whenever I want. I've had it on Xbox since it came out on Xbox forever ago.
It's on everything now. So
yeah. And it's weird because like that is a Metroid style one. I think that was the one that started it, right?
Yeah.
But I've just never been able to get into that one. I don't know why, because I know that's like everyone's favorite. I can't even explain why. I just, every time I start it, I get like an hour or two in, and just, I don't know. I can't explain.
I'm not gonna tell you like you have to fight through like I hate that argument. Like, oh, you need to play like 2-3 hours to get.
Yeah.
But like that game hits a point where like everything kind of flip. Like you play through Bloodstained, right?
Yeah.
So like it kind of has like the similar thing where, you know, the map flips upside down, and like it becomes like really interesting, and there's some really cool boss fights, also some really unfair boss fights, but
it's still a cool looking game too. I don't know why it is that I just hit a point in it. I think I always hit a point where I'm like, I can't figure out where to go next. Mm-hmm. Which is weird, because you hit that a bunch in any of them. Like in Aria of Sorrow, there were a few times I'm like, I don't know where I'm supposed to go next, and I just kind of scour the map and then figure it out. But
like, where's this spot at that they haven't?
Yeah,
haven't
you just
hit. Yeah,
you know, you either look at the map and you're looking for a door that you have not gone through on the map, or you just kind of go explore the map again, go over, and you're like, well, you know, like it happened to me at least once in Aria of Sorrow. Like, I'm not sure where to go. I'm like, that looks like an area I kind of haven't explored, but just whatever. I'll make my way across the map. Worst case scenario, I'll level up a few times, you know. So
I hope it probably will be harder to do, but I hope that they release the DS games at some point in another sort of collection. Just because like those games are really hard to get now too.
Yeah.
At a reasonable price. So
everyone buy this one and maybe they'll give us more.
It is on my list to get.
Sign me up.
Tony, you're not playing this.
Do it, Tony.
All right.
Told me to.
I have one other thing that I played. So and we'll touch on this in news real briefly, but they released a bunch of new games on Game Pass.
Yes, they did.
And one was Scarlet Nexus. Kind of has like had some cool looking, you know, cover looked really cool. Like it's these red eyed kind of cloaked figures. I did not realize that game is like anime ass anime. And not maybe like in all the bad ways, I think.
Wait, which game?
Scarlet Nexus.
Wait, is that the fucking like Dark Souls type?
No, I'm trying to think of which one that one is. This is it's like an action RPG. Where you're using like the character I pick, you could choose two. The character I picked, she can use like kinesis and like pick stuff up and throw stuff, and she shoots these like purple like arrows or daggers out of her. So it's like she has this sort of like a magic user. I played it for an hour and maybe only played about 10 minutes of that hour.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, like it's a lot of talking.
I detested already,
and it's all voice acted. I think the voice acting is actually quite well done, but it's also done in like a weird way. Like, so it's all these like, oh, you'll get up to a scene and like Tony and I walk up to each other, and then it cuts out and it like takes a picture of us, and then you get like two heads talking to each other. Like, that's animated. The two heads are like, their lips move, and but the actual scene isn't. Like, you're just, it's just a picture of you. It's very weirdly done. I don't know how much more of this I'm gonna play. People seem to like it. Like, it got pretty good reviews when it came out. Yeah, so yeah, like it got an 8 out of 10 from IGN. You know, when it released on Steam, it is considered very positive. I don't know. I don't care about like these anime characters, and evidently it's like a 25-hour game.
Oh God!
And if you're only playing 10 minutes of each hour, like no, basically it becomes like a visual novel at that point. If that sounds appealing to you, have at it. It's on Game Pass. If not, maybe skip out on that one.
More Civil War, less of that, whatever that is.
Yeah.
The game I was thinking of, by the way, was called Code Vein.
Yes. Yeah.
The anime. Isn't that the anime Monster Hunter?
That's like Dark Souls.
Which one am I thinking of?
I don't know.
wouldn't Monster Hunter just be anime Monster Hunter?
Right. Yeah, you would think.
It'll always be more anime.
Scarlet Nexus is very anime. I will say that game looks great. Like, it has a really cool visual style, and it when you're playing it, when you're you know controlling the characters, does look like you are controlling, you know, a anime TV show or whatever. But yeah, I don't think I'll be playing a ton more of that. And I guess before we get into all the news are all dropped there, I'll just go over some of the games that released on Game Pass. Scarlet Nexus, something called Astria Ascending, which looks like a classic JRPG. Mighty Goose, which looks like a
Beat 'em up, I think.
Yeah. But with where you're like a goose in a tank.
It looks like I'm all for that.
It seems crazy.
Geese need a chance to release their rage. They do.
Yeah. Marvel's Avengers.
You know, not everything has to be a winner.
The Stonemium Files, which is it's by Spike Chunsoft. You guys know the Zero Escape games? There's also one called 9 Hours, 9 Persons, 9 Doors.
Yes, on the DS. 999.
Yeah. It's by those people, so it's that type of game. I guess like a visual novel mystery type game. I saw some people on Twitter saying, hey, you should play this. Like, then I looked into it and I was like, I don't know if I should play that, but I did download it. I'll give it a try. And then something else called Unsighted. I'm not sure what this is. It's given me very Kingdom Hearts vibes, though. Like the cover art for it. They are all out there. That's part of Xbox's push, I guess, to get more Japanese games. Japanese-developed games on there. So three of these are that. And that's because Tokyo Game Show is going on. So, Earl, what do we have for news?
What do we have for news? I guess the big news is Sony has purchased themselves a new company, a company they didn't own before. They now own Bloomport Games, which I'm always fascinated by these ones, where it's just like, I don't think they, because they worked, they recently did the Demon's Soul remake.
Yep.
And before that, they did, which remake did they do before that?
Shadow of the Colossus. Yeah.
And yeah. Nathan Drake Collection.
So yeah, it's like, there's no change where it's like, they're already doing Sony exclusive games. It's not like, you know, we're just making it Facebook official, I guess. I guess the positive from what I gathered from what they said is they are working on a new game, like, or Like they're working on something new. I don't necessarily
their own thing, not a remake of another Sony property. Or another remake, or they didn't say.
It's
new.
Yes. Like but original. it doesn't also I mean, I was gonna say that's what I'm not 100% sure by, because I don't know if it's original, because it could just be like a sequel to something they've been doing. If that makes sense.
Or a sequel to some established thing.
Yes, there we go.
Got it. So like they could be doing Uncharted 5.
Yes. I mean, it would be an odd choice, but yes.
Right. I mean, just like that was like as an example. Like maybe they're doing that Twisted Metal game.
Yes.
David Jaffe's all upset about.
I saw something about this.
I was going to say, I hope they call David Jaffe ahead of time so that, you know, he gets the heads up and he's not on his feelings about it.
I will say, I read an article on, I guess, what he said on stream. And I get it. Like, you know, he's you know, one of the original creators of that game. And he did say in his stream that they don't owe him anything, but he would have liked the call to, hey, we're going to work on this. Would you like to help out? Like, and they didn't do that.
He not do video games anymore? That's the thing I'm like, why would you call this guy that's like retired? Like,
right.
We're making a new Gears. Let's call Cliffy and fucking, like, he has nothing to do with it anymore. Like, I don't know. It's weird.
Right. I do get it on his side, though, where he's like, you could have called me. I could have given you, like, it's, you know, like Ron Howard called up George Lucas when he was filming Solo and, like, to help him out there. Like,
he doesn't
actually have anything to do with Star Wars, but it's like, hey, here, for some respect. I mean, yeah, he's right. Sony doesn't owe him shit and probably wouldn't call him, but I can also see where he's like, hey, I would have liked a call. It would have been nice. Please call me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good for Blue Point.
I heard that their Demon Souls remake is fantastic, so
hopefully it's really cool. Just finally play it. It's installed on my machine.
I was gonna say you own it, don't you?
Yeah, I haven't turned the PlayStation 5 on since Ratchet, so
there you go. You got good games sitting there just waiting. Lots of games right now.
That's the problem, right? There's so many options everywhere that it's like,
except on the Switch.
Evidently. I don't know what that person was playing, Earl.
Apparently nothing. So I don't know if either one of you saw that article. There's somebody on Kotaku who's like, it's been a quiet year, like, you know, like his Switch has been collecting dust all year, and I'm just like,
are you kidding me? Like,
I think there's things you could say about the Switch. I don't think it's collecting dust this year, as far as releases go, is one of them.
I think it's time for you to leave the industry. My God, you're bored.
It's been a really good year, like one of the better years on the Switch. Like some of it's more like, it's not like the Mario and Zelda's type year, but it just like.
But you know, you had a Mario and a Zelda this year.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, but like, dude, Pokemon Snap. You got Metroid coming out in a week.
I guess that's the rub. The article was about like how it has a really good fall, but it meant that it had a bad spring. But I'm like,
I've had no shortage of stuff to play all year on the Switch. Like, I've probably played the Switch more than any other system.
And that's what I was curious about. It's like, if the Switch had a bad year, I can't imagine what you were playing on the other systems.
It's some of it is me buying, like, things that are available. Like, you know, I have Diablo on the Switch. You know, that's available on other things. But, again, no shortage of stuff for me to play on the Switch. Like, that's an insane thing to say, I think. I don't know.
All right. Well, that was weird. What else we got, Earl?
Who else purchased? Somebody else bought something good. Tell me something new. Netflix, I don't remember the name of them. I apologize. But Netflix did buy the developers of Oxenfree?
They are Night School Studio.
Okay.
Does that seem right?
I'll take your word for it.
Yes, that is. Netflix acquires Night School Studio.
But yeah, I guess Netflix is officially in the gaming business now. I don't know what that means. I don't know if it means they're going to have like an interactive, I don't know if they'll have an interactive studio.
Like we've been hearing about this forever, and it's like, how is this going to work?
Right, so they're going to offer games through their, like, I'm not sure how it's going to work, but they are going to offer some sort of gaming service, right? Like, or games will be offered through their regular subscription service.
I heard those motherfuckers upped the price again today.
Did they?
I swear to God, I heard that. Like I heard it on the radio, I think, when I was driving somewhere.
Oh, I didn't hear about a price increase.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, the radio could have been wrong.
It wouldn't surprise me. It would be funny, though, because everybody complained about HBO Max being too expensive, which I don't disagree with. But at this point, HBO Max is just going to be ahead of the game with its pricing, where everybody else... Everybody else is getting to that $15. I mean, I think, but Disney Plus is still
cheap.
Yeah, that one's like $6 or something.
No, it's more than that. It increased since then.
Has it? I don't have it. I don't even pay attention, anyways. Like they could just creep it up on me, anyways. I would never know because I'm not checking. Like I don't know.
My Disney Plus just comes with. You know, I bought whatever that package is with.
Oh, it's $8 a month now.
Like Amazon Prime, I literally have no idea what it is for a year now. I'm just subscribed for life, and like
$7 billion they just charge you once a year.
Well, the thing with me and Disney Plus was that me and my friends got in on the deal when it first launched, which was like 3 years of Disney Plus, like $150 or something like that. So we have until like next year, I think, before it expires. And then we'll deal with how much it actually costs. But for now, it's like, it's still super cheap for us. So I'm like, yeah, we'll take that.
Did Peacock up their price yet?
No. But Peacock's also super confusing.
Oh, they're terrible. They're one of the worst services out there. Especially if you're watching any of the wrestling stuff.
Yeah. I did not realize because, like, when I first got it, I had got the plan for WrestleMania, which meant like it was half off. So I spent $5 a month for like the
4 months, right?
Yeah, and it was the ad free version.
Yep.
And then that, So yeah, that expired, and I got rid of Disney Plus. I mean, I got rid of it, but then I got it back because I wanted to watch some shows and stuff like that. And they had the Olympics, and it's like I'm just going to do the $5 version, which is the ad version. And I watched my first WWE pay per view on it this weekend, and like they throw ads everywhere, and I'm like, oh no, this is horrible.
Yeah.
This is so very bad. So very bad.
No, you don't want ads. Get rid of them.
It's not even that I mind ads so much, but like because like wrestling isn't necessary. You get ads in the middle of like a entrance, or if you just miss parts of the show because you have to put 3 minutes of ads in here, and there's no actual native ad block section because this is a service that is free. I mean, like, if you pay for it, you don't get ads, so it's like, you don't bake in ad breaks, so it's like this weird catch-22 of an ad service. I don't know, but yeah, I mean, it's only $5, and I'm like, yeah, I don't even know if it's worth that. Sorry, Peacock. And the sad thing is, I have a friend who works at Peacock, and he's super proud of his work, and they do some good stuff, but a lot of times their app just pisses me off. Much like I have HBO Max, but HBO Max pisses me off so much too.
Their app can be a little buggy.
Apparently they fixed it this week. I haven't really noticed a difference, so I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. My biggest pet peeve with HBO Max, and I don't know if anybody else uses it as much as I do to have this, is that there are times where it's like if you're watching a show, and like, you know, Netflix does this too, like you watch a show and they advertise like, oh, there's a new episode this week. And then you can just click and you can go to that episode. I'm like, okay, that's cool. For some reason, when I do that on HBO Max, what it would do is it would always take me to the first episode, but it would count it as the current episode that I... So it would be for instance, I watched Doom Patrol last week. I clicked on that. I'm like, it's Doom Patrol episode. It was episode 3 of season 3. And it took me to episode 1. I'm like, oh, I guess this is a recap of the... I guess, you know, like, previously on. And I'm like, no, this is the first episode. And I went back and it's like, no, this is like, so I had to go back, exit out the app, and then like find the show and then actually go and pick that episode after the fact so that I could get the actual one I wanted to watch. So I'm hoping stuff like that is fixed because it defeats the purpose of an instant revival if I'm stuck having to.
Yeah.
Oh, HBO Max.
I don't think I've had that problem, but I always double check. I think I was like, all right, is this the one that I'm on? You know what I mean? Like, I go.
But that's what I mean. It shows me that it will say like this is episode 3, season 3.
Oh, really?
But it will take me to, yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's like such a, and it wasn't because it happened with White Otis as well, and it happened with White Otis on the final episode. And I just thought it was like, you know,
going back to how it started. Yeah.
Yeah, because you know like how the beginning of the show is actually a flash
at the end. Yeah.
Yeah. So I flash forward, I should say. So I thought, okay, so this is like the final episode. So I guess they're going to like see. And they do show you that. It's just not at the very beginning of the episode. So I was like.
Go ahead, Earl.
Oh, no, go. Sorry, I was just fronting about that.
You do have one other piece of news here. Tell us about Activision's $18 million hush fund.
I mean, I guess they're not going to the hush fund, but, you know, like I think we documented the last several weeks. There's been several complaints from them, and this one is, I think this is the FEC investigation into them. So to combat that, they created an $18 million fund, and apparently this is what them and the SEC negotiated, because of course everybody's saying that this isn't enough, but this is to kind of pay for damages and wrongs done to people out of this $18 million. And it's like, yeah, that does not seem like a lot for what happened. So yeah, I guess that's the long and short of it.
Yeah, $18 million does not seem like a big enough punishment for what's been going on there. So
it's one of those things where, I think, you know, like, it just kind of shows like it's easy to get away with this behavior because you get a slap on the wrist. I mean, as somebody pointed out, I think $18 million is less than what Bobby gets paid a year.
Right. Like, not even close. Like, does it matter if they make?
Yeah.
I mean, what are Activision's profits in a year? Like, how does it harm them at all?
I mean, they probably make that per day on Call of Duty cosmetics.
Exactly, and that's the problem. Like, if not Call of Duty, I'm sure they make that with Overwatches, Xboxes, or Diablo season passes.
Candy Crush. They own them too.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was only one of the lawsuits though, right? Like there's multiple.
I don't even know if that was a lawsuit. That was an investigation, I think.
Okay. There's a bunch of investigations and lawsuits going on currently with them. So this could just be, we're going to clear this one up. Doesn't seem like a ton, but oh, Activision. Is Metroid next week?
Yeah,
But not so before we record, right?
Monkey Ball is next week. Monkey and I think Ball. That Nickelodeon fighting game is next week.
Nickelodeon Smash Brothers.
Is Far Cry next week?
Far Cry 6 is October 7th.
What the fuck, man?
Everything is next week.
I'm hoping to be playing Monkey Ball before I go to bed tonight since I got the deluxe version, but we'll see how that goes because sometimes that shit's like, no, it's actually 6 a.m. That's when it, you know.
Is that ad? Which one is that?
The Monkey Ball. I think Monkey Ball comes out like the 5th or something, but if you got the deluxe version, it comes out the 1st.
Got it.
So, hoping to play it tonight.
If you have the deluxe version, you won't play tonight.
Banana Mania.
It's midnight specific, so like 2 a.m. for you.
Oh, then yeah.
Fuck. Yeah.
I won't. I don't know. I'm so upset about these things, even though I have like literally a billion things to play.
Okay, my phone's agreeing with you. That was sketchy. But yeah, it's like one of those things where it's kind of the start of this season. There's a lot of games dropping out, and I'm here for my poor wallet, my poor wallet.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, dude, I'm getting all those fucking Halloween 4Ks next week too. Like,
you're gonna be broke, Jeff.
That's on top of like I've had to drop so much money in the last month on like repairs and fucking bullshit. It's like been the most expensive fucking month of my life, and I'm still just like, I don't give a fuck. Give me all those Halloween 4Ks right now.
Next week is gonna be so pricey with
yes,
the Metroid, and then I have the OLED coming, and then I got the Amiibo. It's like
you got the OLED, huh?
Yeah.
Damn.
I said the same thing last year. I am the target audience. I've held a job during the entire pandemic. I've not had to do it. I don't have a kid. I don't have a significant other. I've just been saving a crap ton of money to throw on anything. So like this was just like the perfect opportunity where it's like, yeah, I have the money. It for me, like I said before, for me it's like I get an improved battery life because I have the OG Switch, not the one that got the improved battery life a few years ago. I like the color scheme.
Part of me was like, I don't know, I would maybe consider it, but I do feel like there is going to be a new system soon, so I'm like, you know, my Switch is still totally fine, so I'm waiting.
In addition to Banana Mania, Far Cry 6, Metroid, the Alan Wake remaster comes out
next week.
Also, the Nickelodeon All-Star game comes out.
October rules.
And Tetris Effect Connected finally comes to Switch as well. So
when is that?
Same day as Metroid.
Oh my god.
And then it does not slow down because Back for Blood is the 12th.
I'm gonna like be falling up behind. I'm never gonna finish Diablo or something. Like I know it.
Yeah, there's like something I want every week, you know,
for like
for quite a bit. Cause,
yeah,
cause it then, makes up for last year because last year was so disappointing.
Last year pretty rough,
which is ironic when you think about the fact that it's the launch of two new systems.
People still can't get.
But yeah, no, I mean,
last year was just crazy all around,
and I know part of it was COVID. But it's also weird in hindsight because it's like you would think if it was COVID, some of that stuff would have hit this year. But like, it's not been a terrible year. But it's also I can't imagine it wasn't like an overwhelming number of games that felt like they were not intended for this year. I think Returnal was a big one. But out of the other stuff, I felt were 2021 titles.
Oh sure, yeah. There was definitely a lot of stuff that got pushed. So we'll be back. Oh, I just saw that. This will make our buddy Sean happy, although we both have it on PC already. But Record of Lodoss War, Deedlit and Wonder Labyrinth is coming to Switch, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. That is another Metroid type game, kind of like a Symphony of the Night, like that type of stuff.
I'm very curious what's going to happen to Metroidvanias with an actual new Metroid game.
Yeah.
Trying to take out the air. I mean, it would be funny though, because I mean, it could also be that Metroid Dread ends up being a bad game. I mean, that is a.
That seems is so a, hesitant about it. Like, what if it's bad? A lot of, like, I hope it's not.
Yeah. I also hope it is quite good. So.
I think a lot of people are like skeptical because of the like this developer did that Samus Returns on the 3DS.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like one, that's a 3DS game, and two, that was like a remake of an old Game Boy game. So it's like, I don't know. I'm not as worried about it.
Yeah, I mean they took Metroid 2.
Yeah, it's like
and remade it pretty faithfully. I mean, they did some quality of life stuff to it and certainly made it look better. But also, that game scored very well. Like, if you don't like Metroid 2, that's a different story.
I mean, it's probably one of my least favorite Metroids, but I thought they did an okay job with it. Like, I don't know. Like, I just can't not be excited for a new Metroid. Like, I'm gonna not be cynical on this one and just kind of. Think it'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, I was gonna say, I think part of it, and I could be mistaken, with the 3DS game was that Metroid 2 just has a weird format. Anyhow,
yeah, it's different. Yeah, I don't know.
I hope that game turns out good.
Yeah, so. I'm gonna be excited.
I guess we'll be back with Monkey Ball Banana Mania next week.
For sure.
Jeff will have played some of that. We might have some other stuff.
Jeff's totally going to play with his banana.
Oh, yeah.
We will not have Metroid. That will not be out right away. And I believe, Tony, you canceled your Far Cry 6 pre-order, right?
I'm hesitating. It may reappear. We'll see what happens.
But I'm going to try some of those other games that released on Game Pass. So there's something called Sable out there that has like a cool art style. And then, you know, there's a bunch of other stuff. I've already played Marvel's Avengers, so I'll be skipping that. And we should be able to finish Reach as well, possibly. Yes. So we will have stuff next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.